Everybody got Jonah chapter 4?
Yep.
All right. Verse 9. Here we go. Then God said to Noah, or to Jonah, not Noah. Then God said to Jonah, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted, even angry enough to die. Verse 10. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people, about the size of Rochester, living in spiritual darkness, not to mention all the animals. Shouldn't I feel sorry for such a great city? We all know about the story of Jonah, of how God told him, go to Nineveh, and he goes, no way, Jose, I'm going to Tarsus. And then so he started going to Tarsus, he'd hop on a boat, they're sailing the blue seas. The first, you know, you think Gilligan's Island was the first tragedy of sea. No, Gilligan, Jonah wasn't. They threw him overboard, a fish ate him, swallowed him whole. He hung out in the belly of the whale, or big fish, for 3 days. And after 3 days, he said he would go. Doesn't mean he wanted to go. Now he's willing to go because he didn't want to die. Can you imagine on the tombstone, Jonah died in this fish? I mean, that doesn't sound like the funnest way to die. And then he upchucks him and he travels. You think about it, it's sunny, it's hot, he's probably stinking like a fish. He probably doesn't look the greatest. And many scholars believe there might have been a solar eclipse at that time that was taking place as well. And so with all that going on, he walks into a city. It said it took 3 days to walk through. And he goes, repent. Even though he didn't want to be there, he was still obedient to God. You ever do something even though you didn't want to do it, but you're still obedient? And sometimes when you do that, you don't have the best attitude. Like, I'll do it. I don't care. Okay, I'll do it. But he did it. He walked through the city for 3 days. And then he started pouting because people were repenting of their sins. I mean, hopefully that's not us. Hopefully that's not us. And that people are getting saved. Even because Jonah, the Ninevites were people who worship a false god. They weren't Jewish. They were ungodly. They were heathens. They were one of the arch rivals of the Israelites at that time. And Jonah goes, oh, I'm not going to go minister to them. I do not like them. What a statement. I don't like them, Lord. The bikers? I don't like the bikers. They got tattoos and leather, and they ride bikes. I don't like them. Oh, I don't like the preppers, you know, they walk around thinking they have all everything together and they look cool. Or I don't want to hang out with those who do this, or they act like this, or this or that. But God says go. And so Jonah eventually went. And this is interesting how this book ends. So he gets done preaching, he sits outside, and he's waiting for God's grace and mercy. Because he knew God was a gracious God. Because I guarantee you that Jonah has seen God move in people's lives in the past. That's the reason why he didn't want to go, because he knew that God's full of grace and mercy. Even in the Old Testament, God was full of grace and mercy, grace and mercy, grace and mercy. And all of a sudden, he's sitting outside, sun baking down on him. And all of a sudden, God planted a plant, had it grow, and a big leaf. And this, the tree that was there was actually a native tree that grows rapidly and has broad leaves capable of providing shade. So he's under this thing. Now he's like, oh man, I got shade.
Yeah. Now all of a sudden, I believe it says that God caused a worm to come and eat that thing and die. And guess what? Jonah was so upset with this plant dying that he was souls missing out on the kingdom of God. You know, with that, sometimes we get so concentrated on what we think is our preference. We all get there like, oh, I like it this way or I like it that way. That we miss out on God moving and touching lives. Well, I didn't really like that worship song in that service. And all of a sudden you miss out on what God's doing. Or, you know, those new people that are coming with all the kids that actually make it a little bit noisier. Or we'll say, we're more concerned about our comfort. Jonah was more concerned about earthly things than lost souls going to the kingdom of God. And the thing about it, I read a book and the guy was talking about that, and all of a sudden, I've told God where I would not want to go. I have told God, I go, you know something, Lord? You can send me anywhere and everywhere except to these few places. I'm fine if I never go. One is across the sea. I'm like, man, I don't feel like flying 12 hours across. I'm not afraid of the plane falling into the sea or the ocean. I'm just like, I got better things to do than trying to fly on an airplane, trying to get sleep, losing time zone, coming back time, all that. But he goes, what about a soul that might need you? Like, Lord, I still don't want to go. And I told him, I go, Lord, do you know something? If I ever minister back to, I'm not a big fan of my hometown. Nothing against it. To me, it's like the armpit of the area. It's just downtrodden. It's very dark. It's very, as soon as I could leave that area, I was gone. And the only time we go back is to visit. And now we're like, I'm okay. Once my mom passes away, if I never go back to visit there again, I'll bring my nephew up and visit him halfway or something. But God goes, what about if there's souls that need you? I'm like, oh man. Really, Lord? He goes, what if I ask you to go and do ministry there for a weekend, for a couple days? Will you go? Well, when you put it that I'm more concerned about this than lost souls, I'll go. I'll go wherever you tell me to go. Even to the ones that might need a bath. And you're like, oh, Lord, that little kid, he's kind of dirty. I'm not sure the last time we took a bath. And so the thing about it, we have to be careful that we don't get so caught up, and I believe, in the worldly things than we are caught up in trying to save souls. Because the greatest thing we can take with us to heaven is people that don't know Jesus. That's the greatest thing we can bring with us. We can't bring anything else. Because you came in the world naked, you didn't come in with clothes on. And even though your family will dress you up for your funeral, you're not going to take them. You're not taking your clothes to the funeral or after the funeral. You're already gone. Your spirit's already gone. And by the way, you probably won't have new, you'll probably have to get new clothes because you have a new body. How cool is that? And so the only important thing for us, our prayers, is for the lost souls of God's center and God's coming. That should be our heartbeat. What does it take? I don't know. Maybe getting out of our comfort zone. And then as I continued to read the book, and I'm going to probably preach on this next week, and I spoke a little bit about this morning, is that a spirit of fear. We've heard that preached many times. But where does the spirit of fear come from? Like, how does it get into our life? It gets into our life when we don't trust God. When we don't trust God, we'll have anxiety. When we don't trust God, we'll become insecure. When we don't trust God, we'll become like, oh, how do I look tonight? I think it's good to look decent. I mean, I don't think you guys want me to come in after I get done running. My wife doesn't even let me have my clothes on any level besides in the basement after I get done running. There's a reason why. I don't think you want me to come that way, but there's a point of saying, you know, I got clothes, I look good, let's go. And so the thing about it is that we'll talk more about that next week. And so I just want to encourage you that let's worry about the souls that are lost. And what can we do? Because we all have family members that don't know Jesus. The greatest thing you can do is pray for them, and that God would intervene in their life. And then also, as we go through this week, ask God. Say, Holy Spirit, send me to somebody who needs a touch from you. You might not lead them to Jesus, and that's okay. But be the conduit that God can work through. So God's electric can flow through that conduit. You know, if I had an electric company, I think I'd call it God's electricity. Mm-hmm. Lend that, people. Maybe I really should call the church God's electric house or something. I don't know. Just joking. We're not changing names. All right. That's all I'm going to speak over. See if there's anything else I had.